And we pray that the Holy Spirit would bring the presence of Christ here, and that we would understand that you won't leave us lonely. You care about us. You are concerned about us. And many times we will wander off away from you, at least mentally and spiritually. But we ask you to come this morning and meet with us in a special way, that we would know that God cares for us in a world that's getting harder. And so we'll thank you and praise you and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to do a little follow-up on what we had last weekend. We finished up. Is it not on? Got it on.
Looks good.
Okay. Well, you can probably hear me anyway, can't you? All right. We're going to do a little follow-up on last Sunday. I finished up on a series on Philippians on joy. And I'm going to give you a message on the power of rejoicing when things look impossible. And many times we are in situations where it seems impossible. And things are not always what they appear to be. But from what we can see, circumstances and things, we think things look pretty bad. And even if you go back into the Bible and go through with people like Abraham, God had told him, I'm going to go back over to Genesis chapter 17. God had told him he was going to have a son. When Abram was 90 years old and 17:1, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Well, if you can imagine, I've probably said this before, even going by what his name meant, they might have joked, but when he come back and said he's going to be a father of a multitude, the joke was really big. You're old. You don't even have a kid yet. How's this going to be? And so that looked impossible, and of course, Sarah had to jump in there and come up with a plan B, which turned out to be a planned disaster, and we've got the Muslims and the Jews battle going on because of going with plan B, not going with God's plan. But God is always working around our mistakes, and he loves them all. He loves everybody. And so even in the life of Abraham, when he did get Isaac and he went through the thing of offering him on the altar as a sacrifice, and I'm going to say something about that later on. When his servant was sent to get a wife for Isaac, that was impossible. He's going to go off and let me read you his prayer. His prayer was a prayer of faith in a situation where he's traveled hundreds of miles and he goes into this place that Abram had left to get a son for Isaac. Whoops, I don't even know. I didn't mark that. Anyway, he had the specific things that the girl that came out to the well would be the one. In thousands of people, to pray a prayer like that, it's an impossible prayer except with God. And he met him right on the dot. So our problems are not our problems. Our problems are the lack of our faith in walking with God to see what he's going to do. So there's all kinds of situations that seem impossible. Seem like Job's situation would be an impossible one to come out, but he did. All these things in the Bible, impossible situations. The Red Sea, impossible to go across. God is the God of possible. The problem isn't with God, it's with me. And so I want to come back and sort of give us a little retuning this morning in the area of joy, because we're not always joyful when we meet impossible situations, because we're not always focused on God, we're focused on this situation. Same old thing. And so whether it's Daniel, you're going to be lunch for lions, or Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, you're going to burn. It's the same God. And it's really fun if we can sort of get out of ourself, our self-focus, our fears, and all of this, and get hooked in with God, to have our life just turn into a life of adventure, to where it's okay with us, whatever God wants to do in this life of adventure. And I'm just like you. I fail a lot. I'll get excited in different things. So I'm trying to focus in on what to do when things look impossible. Think about the 10 lepers that came to Jesus. Impossible, right? Wrong, because they came to Jesus. And that's our point of failure. We just don't all the way come to Jesus. And of course, they went away, and the one that came back worshiped. That is a key in the situations of impossibility. Worship. You come back through these ones. It's when Abraham was a worshiper that God did the miracle. It's when his servant was a worshiper that God did the miracle. It's because Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were worshipers, that they didn't come unglued because of the circumstances. Come on, one leper came back and was a worshiper and was completely healed because he came back to Jesus. He just didn't get that. So what to do in impossible situations? I didn't bring it in. It's out, and I have a little, I guess you call them a hassock. Do you guys kick them around on their feet or something? And up there I took two soccer balls, and these soccer balls had all kinds of colors on them. Have any of you ever seen something called a wordless book? Have you seen that? That Child Evangelism Fellowship, it's got these different colors. It's got black, which represents sin. Well, these two soccer balls had all the hexagons or whatever they were, with black, which would represent sin. Red would represent the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross to cover our sin. And white would be representing being cleansed by the blood of Christ. And it had a yellow, which represented heaven, getting to heaven, to the golden streets. And then there was a green squares on there, which represented growing in Christ. And they use these type of things to share the gospel. Well, this ministry used a little book that had you open it up, no words, just these colors. And I have a friend of mine who had a vision to do this with soccer balls. And, to get a soccer ball made like that is a pretty big deal. And he finally did have it, and it cost a lot of money. Just to give you an illustration, to get going was just a miracle. It was impossible, because who's going to want to do this type of thing, to crank out thousands of soccer balls in this color? And how much money you got? Well, I'm just a poor farmer. But he had a vision, and he shared with me his vision years ago. And to just make this story short, God fulfilled that vision. That ball has been used in 160 countries in the world. The gospel is used, and of course kids are drawn to things that are colorful like that, and they'd use it to show their need of Christ, and the adults too. And I had two of those, and I took them up there to the Northwoods where we spent last week. I just met him the week before last, just before I come up here. He was coming to Springfield and wanted to meet, so we met at a Wendy's and got us a cup of water and sat there and visited. And my first thing I said, I didn't think you'd probably still be alive. He's a living miracle himself. He's got a bad heart. And we went over some old things, and he gave me three balls. I still got one at home. And he's still going, and he's going to send me a case of these, of 50. We got a soccer field being built 2 miles from our house, a little over 2 miles. They must have, I don't know, 160 acres of soccer fields they're building. And I can go over there, and my grandsons play soccer. But and that 50, I don't know what it was. He's got 10,000 that just come in. I figured that's $100,000 if they're $10 a ball for him to pay. He's just an old poor farmer. And he does all that by faith. What does God want to do through you that will look like it's impossible? It's just impossible. So let's go through this, and I want to just remind you, we got to become and stay at the point of being a worshiper. Worshippers have miracles happen. And Moses was drawn into being a worshiper of God, and he did all these miracles, and of course he fell sometimes too. But I believe a big cause of loss of joy in our lives is we just fail to continually to worship the Lord. And it's just, we get deceived by different things. We're deceived by the circumstances and all of these type of things. And Satan can rob us and destroy our joy when he gets us off track. Well, I'm sort of warming up in this area. And I'm going to go back over to Luke chapter 1. This is familiar stuff just to drive us on. I'm going to go back to Luke chapter 1 and show you how this works a little bit. These are familiar places. And of course, in the beginning of Luke, we have the angel coming and meeting with Mary. And there's an encounter with Zacharias. And I want to bring out these points. In Luke 1:13, but the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." And that's great. Thou shalt have what? Joy. Again, an old man and an old woman, impossible. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias is all excited and just goes into, way, oh, this is wonderful, worshiping God, praising the Lord, all excited. Does he? He's just like you and me. And he says, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, my wife well stricken in years." And he got punished. Couldn't speak till the baby was born. I'm an old man. And I'm getting older. I really didn't know it'd be quite like this. Always wondered what I've seen it happen to other people, you know. Dad drove cataracts, now I got them in my eyes. You know, different things. That one preacher said we fall apart piece by piece. You know, I need a crown, and I don't need as many as Vicky. You know, a piece are falling out, and this doesn't work, and that doesn't work. But we need to keep on with the Lord. He provides everything. He's an amazing God. Even if I am an old man, even if you have a reason why God shouldn't bless you because your situation looks impossible. We got situations that are impossible. We got relatives that are hard to deal with. Let's dig in there and worship God and believe him to do the impossible. That's what this message is about. This is the follow-up, because when we're worshiping God, we'll be filled with joy. When we're filled with joy, we'll have faith. And faith is a necessary ingredient for God to do the impossible. Jesus couldn't even do many miracles in one area because they wouldn't believe in him. And even with Mary, at least we got somebody that did it right. When the angel came to her, back over in 37, and he said, "With God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. She was a worshiper. And so a different response. God has to work around our negatives sometimes. He had to work around Zechariah. So she said in, where was it? Yeah, she went and met Elizabeth, and 41, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice, "Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of the womb, thy womb." And then what I wanted to get, 45, "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." It's a human thing, natural thing, fleshly thing, not to believe. So we have to go into a spiritual realm where we're going to be filled with the Spirit, and by faith we're just going to believe what God said, what God wants to do, so He can do it. And so the same thing with with Hannah in 1 Samuel 2:1, she would grab a hold of God, and then she prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord." She didn't have a baby. She wanted one. It just goes through there. So there's worship during, before, after. We just have to have worship there when God's going to work. I'm not going to give you a lot of stories, I don't think, this morning, of miracles and things that God has done. But just want to give you, this is the scripture. Paul and Silas in a jail, praying, impossible to get out. And God didn't mind wiping out a few guards just to get them out of jail. But they're in there singing and praising, and then God does the unexpected thing. When they cross the Red Sea, they before that, they're hung up with their unbelief, and God has telling Moses to take authority over this sea. And when he does, he raises the rod, and when they get on the other side, then they're rejoicing. But it didn't take long before they're murmuring again. You know, I got nailed. I took my little wife out, finally had a little time for celebrating our 49th wedding anniversary from last May. So we went walking yesterday, and then we went driving up to Bond Falls and went on up to the north and northeast and stuff, and come back around and went to a nice little cafe, and she had walleye and I had cod. And then I got to murmuring, because I says, "This cod was probably farm fed." So, and she said, "Don't murmur." Oh, guys, that's why you need a wife to keep you on track. Be thankful. You know, somebody even provided the money for me to take her out to eat. Farm fit. You know, came out of a factory. Good. And we just had some really good messages on murmuring. Okay, end the message. Wow. The flesh, it just lives on the skin. Somebody, you know, said she walks around with her feelings on her hand just, or on her sleeve. Just brush her and she's going to get mad. So. Okay, so David took the giant. David took his giant because he had been a worshiper of God. Giants were, the giant's nothing to him because of his focus on God. And we get our focus on the farm-fed cod. You know, just be grateful. Oh, so let me ask you a question. Is there an area in your life, and maybe you don't all need it, you don't all have challenges like I do and stuff, is there an area in your life where you need a resurrection for your eyes? Is it an area where you need to see something happen? That's all I'm asking. And, you know, is there an area that is hard, is not right? Do you need to meet Jesus at the well? Think about this woman. Already had a whole bunch more husbands than, you know, one was enough, but she had all these, and when Jesus nailed her that the one she's living with wasn't her husband then, she needed an impossible thing to happen in her life. And when she met Jesus at the well, you need to meet Jesus at the well. Let me share this with you. This is really neat. I'm going to go back over to John in chapter 4, where this happened. Did you know that the thing that really got to her was the subject of worship? Did you know that from verse 20 down to 24, in four verses, worship is mentioned 10 times? It's when they came to the area of who was to be worshiped and he was to be worshiped. The lights came on. The connection was there. She was set free, went back to town and witnessed for Jesus. Who did you share Jesus with this week? Can you name one that you gave a tract to or gave a word? We connect with Jesus at the well and then we go off excited. In verse 20, our fathers worshiped. Of course, Jesus set her up for this. Woman said unto her, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. She says, he's thinking things are getting a little bit too hot, a little bit too warm here. We need to change the subject. Let's talk about where we worship at. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. That's a deviation, and Jesus took her right back to the subject she opened up. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers, are you a true worshiper? True worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. The worshipers can move into the realm of the impossibilities. It may be, that may be the weak link in our lives. We just need to go to the well and get connected to Jesus. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We have to be clean, filled, and obedient. I continually get back dirty, and I continually leak. The Holy Spirit, I have to continually be filled. And that's what the scripture says. Be being filled. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And so when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we worship. When we're not, we worry. We get bad. All these other things happen. Worshippers have made it to the well. Well, there I am. Out on a date with my wife, and I go to murmuring. And she rebuked me. Enjoy it. Forget it. You know, just, all right. I got reconnected to the Lord. Convicted. We had a revival right there at the table. And then I was able to share the Lord with the waitress and then some neighbors next to us. Wow. You know what worshipers have? They have joy. Worshipers are filled with the Spirit and they have joy. And joy, if you go over, I'm going to flip over to John 15 real quick. And this is the continued battle and the struggle to stay happy. George Mueller, before he did anything in the day, he would get himself happy in the Lord. Get himself, and he did that by getting with the Lord. Get everything cleared out and happy and worshiping the Lord. Then he could lay everything out before the Lord that he had to do. You got to feed 5,000 kids and all this stuff. But he was happy because he would meet Jesus at the well. And he wouldn't go off and do anything until he knew he was in contact with the Lord. In John, in chapter 15 and verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Worshippers are happy. And 16:20, flipping right over, he said this several times. He covered this several times. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And then they couldn't stop them. Not that they were perfect, not that they didn't have some failures, but they were off and running. Look at 22. Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. They're off and going and running. 24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. You think about the Apostle Paul. Impossible to live, being beaten as many times he was with the 39 stripes, going through all the shipwrecks, all the stonings, probably even got killed one time and raised to life. It was impossible for a man to live the way he did, but he did. He was an impossible miracle everywhere he went. The devil hated him so much, all the time, getting beat up and everything. But he's joyful. 17:13. I'll give you one more there. I think it is. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. If you're worshiping the Lord, you're going to be happy. You're going to be joyful. And it's possible to go through our devotions, go through our prayers and everything, and really never worship the Lord. So, now down to the message. The Bible has many illustrations of impossible situations. In 2 Chronicles 20 is Jehoshaphat. And if you think Jehoshaphat was perfect, let me read to you what it says in 19 in verse 2. And Jehu, the son of Hanai, the seer, went out to meet him and said to the king of Jehoshaphat, Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, and that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land. Here's the king. He gets a rebuke from the prophet. You come over to chapter 20. They got a problem. The Moabites, 20 verse 1. The Moabites, the Ammonites, and a whole bunch of others are coming against him to battle. That's what verse 1. Then there came some and told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side of Syria. And behold, it's just a bunch of them, outnumbering them, impossible for them to beat all of these armies that are coming against them. Here's this guy. He's already blown it, doing things with the enemy. In verse 3, what's Jehoshaphat do? Jehoshaphat feared. He moves back into the mode of worshiping and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. So they're doing right. He's seeking the Lord. They're moving into this. It's impossible for them to survive this. Verse 4, they came to seek the Lord. Verse 6, and said, O Lord God, our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And talks about his power in that verse. Verse 7, art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people? And just come all the way down to verse 12. O our God, they're in the mode of needy and worshiping God. Wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. It's impossible for us to survive what's coming. This great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. You know, if your eyes are crossed, you don't see the greatest. And have you ever experienced that? Mine were like that. And some of my kids, we've had to have some surgeries and things because one eye will be dominant and the other eye will get weak. And so our eyes need to be straight and focused together on the Lord. So if you're off looking over here and trying to look at the Lord one way or the other, you're going to have a dominant focus either on the Lord or the distraction. Focusing on the Lord and worshiping on the Lord will be a powerful thing because God will move in your life. And you know how the story went. Let's go ahead and cover it. It's so much fun. In verse 15, in the middle of the verse there, he sends a prophet to them to encourage them. He sends this prophet, Jehaziel, and he says in 15, Hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. You too, kingy. All right. You too, everybody. Thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Many times we struggle with that thing that is wrong or that needs to be right. We struggle with it, And God comes along to them and says, the battle is not yours to struggle and fight against whatever it is, this army. The battle is not yours, but God's. If I try to fight God's battles, I get wiped out. Verse 17, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not. If you have the fear of man, or the fear of your circumstance, or the fear of whatever, you do not have the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the realm of being a worshiper. I had something that maybe it's in another notebook. The things that Bunyan wrote about. Why did God use him so much? He was 100% worshiper of God. And he wrote these things about the fear of the Lord versus the fear of man and these things. And so he goes on in 19, he gets the choir going, and the Korahites, they stood up to praise the Lord. And then in 20, they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. There's the key right there of believing God to meet your need. I've got a message, I shared it up there, and maybe we might cover it here on unbelief. When they sent those 10 spies, God said, send these guys into the land. 2 years they wandered and they're going to go in. The 10 spies were a committee of unbelievers. Oh, they believed the land was theirs and whatever, but they're what? Their focus was off of God and on to the giants. And they said, we look like grasshoppers. Hey, guess what God can do with giants? A giant problem you have is nothing to God. And so when you focus in on your issue, bring it to God and worship him that he does all things well. I don't do all things well. I've been known to murmur and all kinds of other things. But Jehoshaphat's having a little revival, and he's telling them to believe. And then in 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. They're in full 100% worship mode. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. What problem? What armies? All just like that. Without worship, they would have been smitten. And there's some more neat things. 26, on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of this place was called the Valley of Baraka, the Valley of Blessing. They got the enemy by worshiping. After the war, they continued worshiping the Lord. Then, of course, they'll probably go off and wander off into sin again, just like us. And so they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem. There she went. Maybe the devil doesn't like this subject. You know, working in revival and going around a lot of different states, we saw a lot of weird things happen. You can't explain it all. Was that demons or just natural things has to have a problem somewhere? One time, our family, the kids were playing their instruments and I was cheating. Preaching down in Louisiana, someplace we're out in the country, and there's a lot of people there. They had this country church packed, and the lights went out. Well, with violins, they can still play. And I think I preach it in the dark. I could share some interesting things in this area. Well, obviously something happened, didn't it? They don't have. All right, I've got some light here. All right, so the Valley of Blessing. In 29, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So that was a pretty neat thing that happened to them. Now, there was his petition, there was the promise of victory, and then there was praise and worship, and they got it. And I don't think that they would have ever got it if they had been in the mode of unbelief, if they had not moved into the area of believing God and worshiping Him. Now, I've got some reasons why we should worship the Lord. Number one, unbelieving prayer is mocking God. It's a mockery of God. If I would, or you, we go to...